Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we know it's different, that the Bible is different from any other thing we can put our hands on in this world. That when we read it, we're not getting just wisdom, but Lord, we're getting your wisdom. That when we learn from it, we're not getting certain information, but knowledge of you, from you. We're so thankful that we can speak from it and speak it, knowing that there's no error in it. As long as we preach your word, we have nothing to fear of what men will say. I pray that you would help me as I speak to be faithful to your word. And I pray that your word would challenge and convict us and help us especially to grow in this conviction of preaching your word. And I ask that you'd be honored and glorified through all that we've done this morning in chapel. In Jesus' name, amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk is in the middle of, he's a prophet in Israel at a very difficult time in Israel's history. In the beginning of chapter 1, he says, Why do you show me iniquity? And he sees around him the iniquity of his people. The Israelites had left God. They weren't obeying God. They were doing their own thing. And he saw it all around him. And asked God, why do I see these things? Why are your people so wicked and evil? And God replies to him in a way. It says, you think that it's bad now, wait till you see what I'm sending. So I'm going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. They're powerful people, and they're even more wicked. But I'm going to use them to punish my people. And Habakkuk says, almost replies to God and says, why is that? You are more pure than to, verse 13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? Holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? He doesn't understand. He's perplexed by the way God is working. He replies to God in this way. But then, at the beginning of chapter 2, he kind of settles into what he's going to do. And we can learn very important truth from Habakkuk here. I don't know exactly how to title this message, but it's the prophet's job, the preacher's job, the work of a preacher. What the man that's saying, speaking for God should do. Anything, any one of those are good titles. So, but we're going to see three things from these verses that we ought to do as preachers. And I believe this is important for us in Bible College Chapel. You are looking at faces of young men who are training for the ministry. If you're training for the ministry, you need to know what the Bible says here. It's important for you. There are so many, many, many ideas about what a preacher should do. You could go to a Christian bookstore and get all kinds of pastor's manuals and these things. And I'm not going to say that what's in these three verses is exclusively all you should do, because there are other jobs that a pastor has. He's a shepherd and all. But very few of the resources that you'll find around Christianity today are going to tell you what these verses tell you to do. And it's sad, but we see the result of it by looking at churches today. Churches today are institutions, organizations. They're not the work of God. And I think one of the main reasons is because the preachers in them aren't doing the work of God. They're doing what books have told them to do, and they're not following the word of God. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2 of Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Three things here that a preacher needs to do, and the first is to watch. Verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch. I will stand upon my watch. If you're going to have something to say to God's people, and he is going to have something to say to God's people, in fact, he knows when he says it that people are going to challenge him. He says, I need to know what I'm going to answer when I'm reproved. If you're going to get up and preach the gospel, people are going to say, why are you preaching the gospel? They might not say it in those words, but they're going to argue with that. They're going to take issue with what you have to say. And they ought to. God's word, when preached, ought to take issue with the way men are living. And if it does take issue with that, if it challenges that, man in his rebellion is going to stand up for himself and say, I don't like what you're saying. Because we don't like God. We're not in favor with God. Mankind is at enmity with God. We're enemies of God. And when God says, you're wrong, we say, no, you prove it to me as mankind. And so Habakkuk knew he would be reproved. He would be questioned. How can you say those things? Any man that speaks for God is going to be questioned. So how do we know what to say? Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. The picture is of a city, of a town. And he's going to get up, stand upon the watch, sit upon the tower. He's not going to go anywhere else. He's going to watch. There's a few words that are implied in this term, standing upon the watch and watching to see what he will say to me. The first is that he's attentive. He's attentive. He's going to, and who's he attentive to? I think it's obvious. He said, I'm going to watch to see what he will say to me. Who is he? Who is he? God. If you're going to speak for God, you must be attentive to God. If you're going to speak for him, you must be attentive to him. If we don't hear what God says, we can't be expecting to be speaking his word. Now, sadly, a lot of men get up, call themselves preachers, and are not speaking God's word. They're not speaking God's word because they haven't listened to what God has to say. They might be trying to do well. They might be trying to help people. They might look across their congregation and see people struggling with different problems and being perplexed by issues in their life, and they say, well, I see this, so I think my people need to hear this. They're not listening to God, though. They look at the culture around them and say, well, our culture needs to hear this. That may be true. But the man of God who's speaking for God has to be attentive to God. Has to be attentive to God. I'm not saying, well, there's more to be understood here, but he has to be attentive to God first. The message has to be from him. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and watch to see what I need to say to these people. No, he's not on the wall looking at the people. He's on the wall, he's on the tower, waiting, attentive to what God has to say to him. I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Listen, a lot of preachers say, well, I know my congregation needs this, or I know this. You know more when you listen to God. You might be wise. You might have discernment. But you have God's discernment when you listen to him. Let me challenge you, men. Preach what God has for you. Be attentive to him. Then you'll have something to say. Another word that is implied in this is the idea of patience. Patience. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Do you get the idea that he's just planning to go up there and find it right away? He's just going to walk up on the tower and, oh, there it is, and be able to go off and deliver it. It's very obvious to me that he's going up there, he's going to stand upon the tower, he's going to set himself in the watch, and he's going to wait. He's going to be patient. He's going to wait until he hears from God. It might not come right away. It might take some work. It takes time and work to get inside of a passage of Scripture. So God says, preach this passage. That doesn't mean that we just say, oh, there's a few words there. Oh, I know exactly what I'm supposed to say. You can't preach what God has by just whatever comes to your mind. It takes patient work and exercise. It's much easier to find some verse that sounds like it's saying what we're already thinking. It's harder to go to the Bible and say, what is this saying? What is God saying? It takes patience. It's also solitary. It's solitary. You don't get the idea that he's up there with a bunch of other people, right? Stand upon my watch. It's his watch. Set me upon the tower. There's not a bunch of people around. It's solitary. It might be lonely. But those shepherds that are alone have the glory of God revealed to them, don't they? A few shepherds in the fields watching, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the skies opened up. There's rewards. There's glory to be found, not for yourself, but to be revealed to you when you're by yourself looking for something, looking for what he will say to you. In that solitary study, you really are with the best of company. Amen. Just you and the Word of God. No better company. We also kind of get the idea that he's entirely engrossed in what he has to do. Okay? He's solitary. He's up there by himself. But you get the idea that even if there was 100 people around him, he wouldn't know what was going on around him. I'm going to stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. He's engrossed in it. He's looking at it. He's going to give his whole soul to learning what the truth is. I have the privilege of being, my job is to preach and to teach. Some of you, especially now, you're in preparation. So it's not you have to pay for this preparation we're providing for you. You have to go off to work. But is your heart engrossed in knowing what God has for you? Or do we get drawn aside by technology and just mundane things of this life that we have to do? If our consuming passion is to preach the gospel, is to tell people what God has to say, it will be we'll be consumed with knowing what God has to say to us. He's entirely engrossed in it. He doesn't matter whether he's by himself or in the midst of a factory or walking down the street full of people around or whatever he's doing. His spiritual focus, he's engrossed in knowing what God has for him. And then it implies the idea of submission. It implies the idea of submission. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me. Now, I should pause and say, Habakkuk was a prophet. Okay? He was a prophet. That's a simple statement, isn't it? Any prophets here? Any prophets here? I put my hand down. No prophets here. The prophet, Habakkuk, went to the wall, stood upon the wall, stood his watch to see what God would say to him, because God was going to speak to him. Does God speak to you? How? Do you need to go onto a wall? Do you need to build yourself an obelisk and sit on the top of it until God speaks to you? No. We don't believe in that type of extra scriptural revelation. But God has spoken to us. So Habakkuk was going to sit there and wait to see what God would say to him. Okay, in a certain sense, we wait, but in another sense, we have it. The waiting is for us to be able to understand what the Word says, to be able to draw out of it what it says. We must be careful. And so he says, I'm going to wait to see what he will say to me. We get the idea that he wants to know what he'll say so that he can answer the people that question him. What is he going to tell the people that question him? Whatever he thinks. He's going to tell the people that question him what he said. Too many times we come to the text, we come to the scriptures, and we already have our own ideas about what it says. We put on the Bible what we think it says. We're not submissive to that text. We're telling that text what it has to say. And when we're challenged by it, what do we have to stand upon? Our own authority. When you preach God's word, you're standing on God's authority. You have something to respond to that's from God. So put yourself in submission to the text. Submission to the text gives you the text's authority. If you're not in submission to the text, you are the authority. And we don't have authority. Whatever it says, it should be what the text is preached. You know, sometimes it's impressed upon you to preach. I would say this, my eyes are really open to this. And if you grew up here, you understand what this is. When I preached through the book of Galatians, I think I ought to preach through a book. And I think I ought to preach through Galatians. 70 to 90% of the sermons I preached from Galatians were not what I thought about what Galatians would teach me. And I grew up in church. We have to put ourselves in submission to it. I didn't say, well, I didn't think it taught that. I guess I'll have to find something else to preach. No. I thought, wow, I didn't know it taught that. We need to hear this. Because God spoke it. I had not serious challenges, but people would say, you really think it said that? You know what you're saying when you say that? Yeah. Just what the Bible says. I don't worry about questions and arguments with the Word when it came from Him. When you submit yourself to the Word, it's the Word's authority that you're speaking from. And it also... But all this theory that we're preaching about also has a practical aspect to it. It says, I'm going to watch. Why is he watching? What's the purpose to all this watching? Should I go and study the Word so I can really know what the Word says? Why is he watching? So that he can give an answer when he's questioned. It's practical. The Bible, we're to be able to give an answer, to give a defense, to give an apology for what we believe. And here's the same idea. I will see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. I need to know what to say when I'm questioned. If there's no purpose, I mean, if the only purpose for our waiting on God is so that we can say that we know what God says, that's no purpose. Purpose is to be able to spread it, to be able to preach it, to be able to get it out. So if you're going to preach, get away to your watchtower before you do any speaking. And see what he will say. Don't see what you will say. So first, the man of God has to watch. Then, verse 2, he has to write. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. He has to write. In order to write, he has to be able to see first. The scripture says, write the vision. He has a vision. What's the vision? What's vision? It's God's word. It's not my aspirations for this community. It's not that. The vision is what God was going to say. Write the vision. The vision is the word of God. It says, write the vision. So we need to see. We need to first see. We need to, and for us, where's the vision? It's right here. It's right in your lap. We don't need to beg God for a vision. I have a vision. No. The word of God is the vision. God doesn't write messages to us in the sky. Any thoughts we have are subject to the scriptures. And any direction we're going to get will come from the Holy Spirit's use of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak himself. He doesn't give us visions. He speaks with the scripture. So we need to see that and then write the vision. Okay, if he saw it, then he's supposed to write it. What does that imply? Making it known. We've watched, we see, we're going to see what God will say unto us, and that's what the scriptures say. We're going to see what God will say to us. We've seen it. Now we have to make it known. We have to make it known. Make it known in the best way possible, in the most effective way possible. It's not just for you. It's not just for you. We can study and study and study and learn and grow in our own knowledge, and that would be helpful. But God doesn't give us a message. God doesn't speak to us. God hasn't given us his word for just us to be able to enjoy. We're to make it plain. We're to make it known. We're to write it out. And if we're not writers and we're speakers, we should, with our words, write it on the tables of men's hearts. It's not just for you. Write it on paper, write it on hearts, whatever. That takes effort. How many of you like to write? There might be a few. How many, it comes easy to you? Okay, that was a little fewer there. Some people like to write, but it doesn't come easy. For me, writing is a tremendous effort. I hate writing. I kind of like the effect of it. I think I've learned my grammar enough to be able to put a sentence together that makes sense. But, man, it takes a lot of work. It takes effort to write. It's not just, you can't just put down a bunch of ideas. You can't just throw out there something. That's not writing. And even if you're speaking, you can't just say a few things or repeat a bunch of things. If you're going to write on men's hearts, it takes effort. It takes work. It takes some thought. And we are to write the word. Whether we write with our hand or with our mouth, we're to write, and it takes effort. We're to make known God's word. Make that message known. And then he says, make it plain. Don't just make it known, make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables. How many of you have heard somebody, maybe it was a sermon, maybe it was a lecture, and they spoke and they spoke and they spoke that it was so elaborate that they really muddied your vision. They clouded your vision. It was, you thought you understood it before you went in, and you went out, you're more confused than ever before. It wasn't made plain. That's not what we're to do. We're to make it plain. Sometimes people study the word, and as you study, you find that people have, men, you're in Bible college, you're going to find that there's some people that have questions about Scripture. Scripture is written 2,000 years ago. There's differences between our culture and that culture. And so one man thinks it said this, another man thought it said this, and we could get up and explain all the questions that people have upon a text, and they wouldn't be bad questions, just questions. That doesn't make anything plain. You're going to discover those questions as you study. But you're going to, but you don't raise the questions. Solve the questions, answer the questions, seek the answer, and then make the text plain. Make it plain. Don't muddy the waters. Don't make it some elaborate scheme that has to do this and then duck under this and turn the corner after 45 steps, you turn left and then immediate right. You know, I'm thinking it's not a maze to get through. Scriptures are not a maze to get through. It's we're to make the way, make it plain. Don't make it difficult. Make it plain. And remember this, when we speak to the world, if the message is for the world, our common language. I've used many words today that we all understand. But if I was speaking in a public school auditorium, there'd be very few that understand many of the terms and vocabulary and language that I've used. They wouldn't understand it at all. We don't change the message to make it easier to understand. But we must make the message understandable. We must make it plain. Break it down. Make it digestible. If you had a loaf of, how many of you could eat a loaf of bread without breaking it up? You can put the whole loaf in your mouth and chew it down. You cut it into pieces. You break it into, you take it a little bit at a time. You might even drink some milk with it or some water with it or something like that. You'd break it into pieces. You can get the whole thing in. You could eat the whole thing, but we break it down. And the same with the scriptures. Make it plain. Break it down. Make it digestible. And then make it practical. Why should we make the message plain? Why should we write it down and make it plain? So that he, make sure I say it right, so that he may run that readeth it. If there was reason to believe that what I'm about to say was true, we would see a response. I just found out that Abigail Warren's car was smashed by a crane in the parking lot. We would see a response. That had an effect on her, didn't it? It's not true. Okay? But when you preach the Word of God, does it have an effect on the people that hear it? Why did it have an effect on her? Because it concerned her. And the Word of God concerns every single person that we speak to. But we to speak it plainly enough so that they will respond to it, so that they will run when they hear it. We preach of the judgment of God, they should run to the throne of mercy. Whatever we're preaching about, whatever we're speaking about, make it plain and make it practical. It shouldn't be so flowery and holy and sacred so that everyone falls asleep while they're listening to it. It ought to concern them. They ought to think, I've got to do something about this. Make it plain so that he that hears will run. Make it so that it concerns the hearer. And then finally, the man of God has to wait again. Verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Wait. The vision is yet. Listen, pastors, preachers, in our culture, especially today, are very concerned with results. Evangelists, Mr. Ramos has to report in his newsletter how many people came forward, how many people surrendered for the ministry, how many people, right? Okay. You've heard things like that. You know, how many were in attendance, how many came forward, how many raised their hand for that, whatever. And there's other aspects of that. we shouldn't have to be concerned about that, but our human nature causes us to be interested in those things. You want to be successful? Successful means that you have a large church. Does it? I guess I say that because preachers are tempted to manufacture results. They're tempted to manufacture results. And Habakkuk says, or God said to him, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. What's he saying? You might not see results right away. We have heroes of the faith who were in the ministry for years before they ever had someone trust Christ as their Savior. If you went off to the mission field, what would you feel like if after a year you were never able to say anybody trusted Christ? You'd think you were a failure. You'd have people wondering if they should continue to send you support. But God says, wait. He says, be faithful. Just preach my message. All of his messages are prophecies. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the resurrection morning, we shall rise. Anybody in heaven right now? Oh, it's heaven on earth. Oh, yeah. Nobody's in heaven. It's a prophecy. It shall come, right? It will surely come. But the preacher who manufactures results probably isn't speaking the word to start with, but he's not trusting God. Saying, to be successful, I have to do this. I have to get this. No, wait. The vision is yet, God's word will do its work. You do your work. You make it known. You make it plain. You make it urgent. And then wait. The vision is yet for an appointed time. God's promises are certain. It will surely come. And it will not tarry forever. It's not our job to manufacture results. We have heroes of the past that went years. God's word does work in men's hearts. You don't work in men's hearts. If you worked in men's hearts, you could determine what work that would be and what proof of it would be. But it's not you. You're the messenger. Find out from him what to say. Say it. And then let him do the work. If you have been faithful, God's faithful to his promises. You say, I'm preaching the word and I don't see the results I want. Maybe you're looking for the wrong results. But God is not a liar. He said, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. You be faithful to God. You look for him. You be attentive to him. You be submissive to the word he gives you. And then you make it known and plain and urgent upon men's hearts. God will bring the results. You just wait for him. If you're going to preach for God, if you're going to be the man of God, you're going to speak his word, you need to watch. Watch for what he has for you. You need to write it. And then you need to wait for his work. Let's pray. I'd like you to just take a minute or two and just consider in your own life how this applies to you. We have ladies here. It applies to you. You're not going to be a preacher. But do you speak for the Lord? Each of us, as servants of the Lord in one way or another, speak for him, whether it's the official preacher capacity or something else. Don't speak your word. Speak God's. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And again, thank you that when we speak from it, in submission to it, we speak with your authority. I pray that we would be challenged, even in our lives as we're living them right now, to be obedient to your word in this area, that we wouldn't go about our ministries or our work thinking that we've got something great to tell people, even if we want to call it the gospel, but that we would seek your word, to know your word, and then to make that known and plain to people so that we could see you do the work in their hearts and in their lives. Please bless your word as it's gone forth in Jesus' name.